like the most welcoming guy I have ever met or come across in my life. He's a kingdom welcomer, that guy. Well, if you don't know what's happening, or you've walked in late this morning, or you know you're looking at how church looks a bit different this morning, this morning you have just walked into a My Youth Takeover service, which is very, very exciting. I'm just going to have to secure my notes because we've got a Windforce aircon going. Is there any way we can maybe turn that off? Because these are going to go flying. If someone could do that, thank you. But my name is Maddie. Everyone say hi, Maddie. And I am heading up the youth ministry, which we call My Youth. Everyone say My Youth. We like to put my in front of everything. We have my girls, my boys, and that is who we are. And what you've seen this morning is only a snippet of some of the incredible, incredible youth that we get to do life with on a Friday night. Some of them are your kids. Some of them are your kids' friends. But you saw lots of faces up there, and I just think they're the most beautiful kids in the world. I feel like I have the easiest job ever. They're so beautiful. But I wanted to preach this morning. I get up here and I talk about youth a lot, but is it all right if I preach this morning? Is that okay with you? Well, I'm going to open up the Word of God. Anyone got the real deal OG Word of God in their hands or your Bible apps this morning? I would love if you could open up to the book of Job. Everybody say Job. Not job, Job. Some of us might need to get a job, but we're going to talk about Job this morning. And the book of Job is, I think it's the most favorite book in the Bible that I love to read the most. I feel like you can come to the book of Job when you're in, you know, the hardest times, or you're in the highest times, but more particularly the lowest, and that song we were talking about, highs and lows. You can come to the book of Job in the lowest of times, and I guarantee you, if you read that from start to finish and you don't walk away humbled by what he went through, and if you don't walk away, you know, encouraged by how he dealt with what he went through and how he still looked to God, then I don't know what Job you're reading, but I find his story incredible. And so if we're going to be able to follow along, we got Javon up the back there. I'm just going to read through it in the Message version because this is a youth service. So all of you theologians, don't come for me after the service because this is a youth service. So I'm preaching like I'm preaching to the youth. Do you feel young this morning? Do you feel young? Am I okay to preach from the Message this morning? Amen, amen. You can talk to me later if you have issues. I'll send you to my father. But in Job 1, everyone say Job 1. If we can get it on the screen, it says, Job was a man who lived in, now is it Uz or Uz? Anyone? Gareth? What are we feeling, Gareth? Uz? There we go, he knows. Job was a man who lived in Uz. He was honest inside and out, a man of his word, who was totally devoted to God and hated evil with a passion. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. That's a lot of kids. Anyone got 7 sons and 3 daughters? No, I think Job wins today. I feel like the Haineses are almost there. They're on their way? They're adding a daughter to it soon, so amen to that. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He was also very wealthy. 7,000 head of sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, 500 donkeys, and a huge staff of servants. The most influential man in all the East. So he was doing all right for himself. He was pretty influential. He was pretty up there. And as it continues to go on, it talks about the test that he's gone through. And it talks about the first test. And in that, it's titled in my Message Bible, the first test, family and fortune. And so God said to Satan, have you noticed my friend Job? There's no one quite like him, honest and true to his word, totally devoted to God and hating evil. And then Satan and God are just having a chat about Job, as they do. And then Satan comes back and he says, so do you think Job does all this out of sheer goodness of his heart? Why, no one ever had it as good. You pamper him like a pet. Make sure nothing bad ever happens to him or his family or his possessions. You bless everything he does. He can't lose. But what do you think would happen if you reached down and took away everything that is his? He'd curse you right into your face. That's what he would do. Then God replies, "We'll see. Go ahead. Do what you want with all that is his. Just don't hurt him." And then Satan left the presence of God. Now, I'm not going to keep reading because it'll be story time Bible reading with Maddie and we could be here all day. I will read the whole book for you if you want. We can do that after church. But to summarize what happens, a messenger comes and he says that, I'm going to keep reading it just so I know exactly what happens. So the first messenger comes and says that bolts of lightning have struck the sheep and the shepherds. And that messenger says, "I'm the only one to get out alive to tell you." And then while that's happening, another messenger comes and he says, Chaldeans coming from three directions raided the camels and massacred the camel drivers. I'm the only one to get out alive and tell you what happened. And while this is all going on, also, his children were having a party at the home of the oldest brother. So remember, he's got 7 sons and 3 daughters, so a lot of kids. And a tornado swept through off the desert and struck the house. It collapsed and all the young people there died. I'm the only one to get out alive. So everything that was just explained that Job had going for him, his money, his servants, his camels, his big family, his fortune, everything that, you know, you would think made him the man, made him that influential person, literally in the same instance is wiped from him. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about that, you know, thought about what's valuable to you, thought about your own possessions, your own family, your own kids. I don't have any kids, so I wouldn't know what it would be like to lose one, but, you know, your house, your belongings, things that are important to you. Can you just imagine yourself in this situation right now and having that completely wiped? How would you be feeling? Just have a think. How would you be feeling in this moment? Because how Job turns around and speaks when all of this happens is what just blows my mind. So Job gets to his feet and he rips off his robe, he shaves his head, and he falls to the ground. So basically, when you start to read this, you think he might be having a bit of a tantrum, you know, ripping off his robe, shaving his head, doing some irrational, crazy business. But he drops to his knees, and he begins worshiping. He begins worshiping the God, the same God that gave him all of this stuff, but also the same God that, you know, through this conversation with the devil, was still there when it was all taken. And he drops to his knees and he worships him. And it says, not once through all of this did Job sin. Not once did he blame God. And so as a youth ministry and as a, I guess, as a term topic for this school term, if you don't follow school terms, we have 4 terms a year. We're in term 3. Praise the Lord. How quick has this year been going? But we're in term 3. And our term theme this year is all in. Everyone say all in. And what we mean by that is, are you all in? Are you all in for your relationship with God? Are you all in for Jesus? And that's what we want to stand for, and that's what we want to nurture in our kids this term. What does it mean to be all in for God? What does it mean to live a life that's actually and completely for him? Live a life that, you know, you could get put in a situation like Job is. Heck, you could be in a situation like Job was right now. But you would be so all in for God that there is nothing that could make you question his promises for your life. That there is nothing that could make you question his plan and what he has put over you and what he has promised you. And that is our heart and that is our soul for this term and for camp. And we have so much more planned in this service. Like, you ain't seen nothing yet. If you thought the first half of it was pretty crazy, it's going to get even crazier and there's going to be incredible announcements and things like that. But I just wanted to sit on this moment and just fill you in on what our heart is this term and what I've been, you know, speaking with the kids, bring you into update. And so as you continue on into Job chapter 2, if we can get there, verses 7 to 10, Satan left God and he struck Job with terrible sores. Job was covered in ulcers and scabs from head to foot. They itched and oozed so badly that he took a piece of broken pottery to scrape himself and then went and sat on a trash heap among the ashes. My sister has just started Somehow my sister makes it into every sermon I ever preach. She's just special like that. She absolutely hates it because she's always there when I preach. But my sister's just started nursing at the moment. She's just enrolled into her college nursing course. What's it, a course? It's not TAFE, it's college. And when I was thinking about this, I don't really know much about ulcers and scabs and oozing sores and things like that. But if you're coming from a nurse's perspective, I'm not going to put you on the spot, but any other doctors in the room, this isn't a good thing, right? To be covered in this isn't a good thing. Anyone ever had a scab? Anyone ever had a mozzie bite, fallen off a bike or something, you had a scab? So Satan covers him in these terrible sores. And this has happened right after everything that he's lost. But he still has his wife. And this part's interesting to me because, I mean, I'm also not married, no kids, no marriage. But I would feel like your partner would be someone that you would confide in quite a lot. Can I? Any married people testify to that? You confide in your partner. And through everything that Job went through, you know, he loses kids, his fortune, his servants, his animals, and then he himself gets struck with sickness. And then one of the final things is his wife says to him, in verse 9, if we can get it up, she says, "Still holding on to your precious integrity, are you? Curse God and be done with it." And at that point, I'm like, man, if your wife is even saying, like, you're being ridiculous, you're really being put to the test. Amen? Happy wife, happy life. So if your wife is even saying, what the heck are you doing? That's testing all angles. And he says to her, "You're talking like an empty-headed fool." I wouldn't recommend saying that to your wife. I'm going to just say it. But he says to her, "You're talking like an empty-headed fool. We take the good days from God. Why not also the bad days? Not once through all this did Job sin. He said nothing against God. We take the good days, but we also take the bad days." And just like that song so effortlessly showed us through poetic, beautiful words about highs and lows, you know, God is with us through the highest, and it can be so easy to celebrate God. God, you are so good. You are so faithful. You know, life is amazing. Life is abundant. But when you flip it and when you're walking through the valleys, when you flip it and you're walking through the lows and the bad days, I want to ask you this morning, church, do you find it as easy to rejoice in him in those times? Do you find it as easy to stand firm in him in those times? Or do you find yourself shaking in confidence for him, shaking in faithfulness towards him? I want to live an all-in kind of relationship with Jesus, is what we want to proclaim. A life where anything could come your way, where anything could attack you, where you could become sick, where your family could get taken, a life where anything could come, but you would know where your priorities are. You would know that you serve a God that is far greater. You would know who reigns on that throne. You would know that Satan has no hold and that he can throw everything. He loves to throw everything. He loves to get in the deepest worries, the deepest insecurities of your heart. But there's one thing I got to tell you this morning, church. We serve a God that triumphs that every time. We serve a God that is way above that every time, that stamps on what the devil tries to put up against us. He stamps on it. We serve a Jesus that the same power that was in him when he walked on the earth, when he did crazy miracles, when he raised from the dead, when he called out upon the waters, the Bible tells us that same power lives inside of us. And I want you to know that this morning. Can you imagine what your life would look like if you put God first in every aspect of it? A life without feeling guilty about decisions you could have made. A life without feeling like you're worthless or there's nothing really that you're ever going to amount to or do. A life without feeling shame. And no, choosing to live for God doesn't automatically make you perfect in the world's eyes. It might not automatically, to a simple human being, make you seem completely changed and completely perfect. But there's one thing I need to tell you this morning, is that through Jesus, we are seen as perfect every time. that through Jesus, we are seen as clean, pure, perfect every single time. And the world can come at you and the world can say you haven't changed. And the world can say, just go back to what you were doing. And the world can say, your God isn't faithful. Your God hasn't pulled through. Where's your finances? Where's your job? Why is your marriage falling apart? Why aren't your kids in church? The world can throw the yuckest of things at you. And I know this as a fact from even just speaking to young people and hearing their stories. There's stuff that these kids have seen that kids are not supposed to see. The stuff that these young people have walked through at ages I couldn't even imagine. And I thank God that somehow they found us in this little room upstairs on a Friday night. I thank God that they are in a healthy and living, thriving house that is the house of Lord. I thank God that they have found restoration and that they have found true love. And I pray that, you know, we continue to flood those doors open, not only youth, but in this house. Amen. Because believe it or not, there's people out there who have no idea at all about what we have. See, God doesn't use his power to brainwash us and make us live exactly how he wants us to. He gave us free will, which is why our decisions are so important. But you can't expect the new to come when you keep practicing the old. You can't expect to walk out a new, fresh season if you keep going back to the old. You can't expect to be bold and confident in what God's laid out for you if you keep going back to your worries, into your insecurities, into your what-ifs. You can't expect change if you keep practicing the old. And did you know that his word says that he will never put you in a position that is beyond your temptation's ability to handle? He will never put you up against something that you in your own mind plus God can't handle. He'll never put you in a situation that's out of your depth. The Bible says that. He'll never put you up against what you can't handle because he is beside you, because he is for you, because he has declared that you have become triumphant through that already. It has been declared. When you feel like you can't go through it, he says you can go through it. And when you feel like giving up on a God lifestyle, his word says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Set you apart from another lifestyle. You have been called as kings and queens of the highest, daughters and kings of the highest, daughters and sons of the highest king. You have been called. Tongue twisters. But I just want to tell you that you're doing better than you think you are. And I don't want to stand up here and condemn you and make you feel like, man, I should be doing way more. Man, I should be a better Christian. I should be praying more, reading my word more, trusting in God more, because you are doing better than you think you are. You're in this church this morning. You are sitting on a seat this morning. I don't know what your morning looked like, but you got here. Praise the Lord, and you are doing better than you think you are. But when you feel like you're getting knocked down, when you feel like times are getting tough, when you feel like, you know, you're going back to those old ways again, get back up. Get back up. When you feel like, you know, the devil's coming at you from all angles, when you feel like you are up against the highest of mountains, you get back up. You take that step forward. You take that step forward. Another step, another step, another. You don't have to take giant leaps, but a step forward is a step closer. Amen? The enemy wants you to give up. The enemy wants you to say this is too hard. The enemy wants you out of the game. He wants you to sit there and he wants to be able to prove God wrong about you, just like with Job. He wants to be able to say, I proved you wrong. He wasn't faithful to you. Aiden wasn't going to be faithful to you. Tyrell wasn't going to be faithful to you. I proved you wrong. Prove him wrong. Prove the devil wrong. And you get up and you get back up and you keep going. Because God's not looking for perfection. He is the perfection. He's not looking for you to be perfect because he is perfect. And through him, we are made perfect. And so all you need to do is walk forward and get up and keep going, keep going, keep going. Because the promise is there, I am telling you. The mountain from the valley that you are in right now is coming. There's this little picture on the internet or Facebook or somewhere, I don't know. I tried to explain it to my youth a couple of weeks ago for a sermon. I'm going to try again. But I was supposed to bring it up, but I wasn't organized. But it's basically a picture of a little girl, and she's standing opposite to Jesus. Let's pretend I'm Jesus. Actually, no, I'm going to be the little girl, because that's me. It's a little girl, and she's standing opposite to Jesus. And in her hand is this precious little teddy bear. Anyone ever have a daughter or a kid that has that precious doll or toy that they just have to have? Or you had one yourself, a blanket or a teddy or whatever. She's holding it. And you can tell that it's worn and it's dirty and it's precious and it's all she wants. And Jesus is standing there, and behind his back is this ginormous teddy bear. It's huge. It's like the craziest teddy bear you could ever imagine. It's like decked out, it's like shimmering, sparkling, it's incredible. But she can't see it. And she's standing there with her dirty little precious teddy bear to her, and Jesus is saying to her, give me your teddy bear. Give it to me. And she can't see what's behind him. She can't see the incredible dream that is behind him. She can't see the promise. She can't see what's more than she could ever imagine. But all he's asking is for her to give it to him. And right then, that's her whole world. And it's not a moving picture or a video, so you don't see what happens from that. But I feel like this morning, some of us are holding on to our dirty, raggedy old teddy bears, trying to keep hold of this dream or this promise, when God's got something way bigger that he's holding on to. God's got something way crazier than you could ever dream. And all you need to do is give what, you know, is stopping you from giving everything, that last thing, over to him, over to his hands, so that he can give you all that he has for you. I wish I had it to show you, but you can search it if you want. It's beautiful. Just to end, because we're running out of time, I'm just going to read a verse in Matthew 6, 25 to 34. And it says, so I tell you, do not worry about the things you need to live, what you will eat, what you will drink or wear. Life is more important than food, and the body is more important than what you put in it. Look at the birds. They don't plant harvest or save food in barns, but your heavenly Father feeds them. Don't you know that you are worth far much more than they are? You cannot add any time to your life by worrying about it. Don't worry and say, what will I eat or what will I drink or what will I wear? That's what those people who don't know God are always thinking about. Don't worry, because your Father in heaven knows that you need all these things. This is my favorite. What you should want most is God's kingdom and doing what he wants you to do. Then he will give you all these things that you need, so you don't worry about tomorrow. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Tomorrow will have its own worries. Full and complete trust in him. That verse just summarizes it to a T. And I'm not saying stop working or stop going grocery shopping for your kids. Please go grocery shopping, mum, for our food. But what I'm saying is, it's not something that you need to worry about. It's not something that needs to consume your every mind. What should consume your every thought is how much he loves you. What should consume your every thought is the crazy plans and purposes he has for you. What should consume your every thought is, how am I going to live an all-in life for him today? How am I going to use this day to the fullest for him, from the moment I wake to the moment my head hits that pillow? How am I going to live it completely for him? And if I could just get you guys to stand to your feet, please. And close your eyes if you can. I don't know every situation in this room, but I do know a crazy, crazy, incredible God. And he knows you way better than anyone else in this room ever could, way better than your husband or wife that might be with you, or your kids. He knows every single detail about you. He knew you before you were even created in the womb. He knows your beginning and your end. He knows every tear you've shed, everything you've prayed over, everything you've worried over. And I just want to provide an opportunity this morning, if you don't know him, to allow you to do that. Because my goodness, do you want to meet him? If you don't know this God that I speak of, or maybe you have in the past had a relationship with him, but you're thinking this morning, Maddie, it's been distant. Maddie, it hasn't been as close as it could have been. Maddie, I haven't really been feeling all in with my relationship with God. I don't want to slip away from this moment without providing that opportunity. And so with every eye closed, no one else is looking around. This is between you and this is between your Heavenly Father. If you right now want to know him more, want to know him again, I want you to be bold for me right now and just slip your hand up just so I can see. Amazing. Just slip your hand up. Beautiful. And with every eye still closed, I just want to speak to us as a complete congregation. And we did a similar altar call like this at my youth a couple nights ago when we introduced this topic. And this is an altar call for myself as well. You can be a pastor in this room, or you can be a first time walking into this room, never been here before. This is open to everyone. But I want to put a question out there. Are you all in with your relationship with God right now? Are you all in for the plans that he has for you? Maybe you are and you want to proclaim that, or maybe you're not and you know you should be. But if you're all in, I just want you to raise both hands to your Heavenly Father right now. If you were all in for God this morning, raise both hands. Father, I thank you for every hand raised in this room right now, Lord Jesus. I thank you that you are a sovereign God. I thank you that you are a God that loves us unconditionally. I thank you that you are a God that is there through the highest of highs and that is there through the lowest of lows. And right now, Father, I just pray for a new and fresh revelation in this room, Lord God. I pray for new faith to be birthed in this room right now, Lord God. I pray for new dreams and new visions and a sense of freshness, Lord God, that we will not cling to our old dried up teddy bear dreams, Lord God, but that we will cling to the fresh and enormous promises that you have for us, Father. And I declare that over every single life in this room right now, Lord God. I declare a sense of fresh, bold breakthrough. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen, amen. Like I said, it is not over yet. Everyone say, it is not over yet.